The word of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. It is page 318 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Amen. While preparing for the sermon for today, I thought of a movie I saw before and saw it again. It's a movie called Holland's Opus, which had come out about 15 years ago. And this movie is about a music teacher who taught at a high school for 30 years. Opus means a composition. The background of the movie is John F. Kennedy High School in 1964. Glenn Holland's dream was to compose a great symphony, but the reality did not permit such dream to come true, and in many aspects, there was nothing that was going right in his life. But Glenn had lived 10 years playing music at places like clubs, weddings, and celebrations, but had become a teacher in order to have more time to compose music. On the first day at his job, his teacher's vice principal snickered that his car was so old that it was dangerous. And he asked, what is music to his students during his first music class? But no one answered. And he also had to lead the school's orchestra and saw that the students were awful at playing. He came home and complained to his wife, Iris, about what happened at school. Her words of comfort were a help to him. There was a girl student, Gertrude Lang, who had played clarinet for 3 years, but who always couldn't get it right. So Glenn decided to make her come to school 30 minutes early before the first class and tutor her. But she made no progress despite continued tutoring. But Glenn came to know that there were a lot of things that were holding her down. Her sister had won a scholarship to Juilliard as for a ballet, and his brother had gone to Notre Dame with a football scholarship. Now, her mother had won so many blue ribbons for watercolors that the competition was thinking of getting rid of the award. And Gertrude said that she was the only one in the family who couldn't do anything well. Glenn encouraged her and helped her to practice so that she was at last able to play a solo at a graduation concert in 1965. His first months as a teacher were busy ones and difficult ones. Students' test scores were terrible, and he was criticized by an older teacher for going home early during the past four or five months. And this teacher said, how could a teacher go home before the students? Do you want to coach track? In 1965, a son, Cole, was born. Glenn wanted his son to be a musician and planned on and taught him piano. But he realized that there was a problem with his son. When Kennedy High School band, led by Glenn, marched with bands from other high schools, a fire truck went by with a really loud siren. Everyone, grown-ups and children alike, frowned and blocked their ears, but Cole, who was sleeping in his stroller, just slept on so peacefully. His mom, who thought that this was really strange, beat on a pot and yelled behind her son, but he showed no response. Glenn also yelled behind Cole, but his son did not look back. When they went to the hospital, the doctor said that Cole had lost 90% of his hearing, and so he had to learn to use the rest of 10% hearing with special education. Time went by, and it was time for Cole to attend school. His wife wanted to send him to a good private school for the handicapped, but Glenn got irritated and told her, "You know we don't have the money." So he got into a big fight with his wife that day. His wife wailed and said, "You spend all day with normal people, but I can't talk to my son. I don't know what he's thinking, and I can't tell him I love him. I want to talk to him." Glenn's relationship with his wife and with his son were not easy. His only pleasure was composing symphony whenever he had the time. In 1980, there was a funeral for John Lennon, a member of Beatles, and Glenn was surprised to learn that his son Cole knew about Beatles and John Lennon. And he was more surprised at his son saying that he would be better at music if Glenn had taught him, but his dad was more interested in teaching other kids. After that, Glenn tried to help his son appreciate music, make him understand music by using the color and brightness of light. And through it, his relationship with his son improved. Time passed to be 1995. There were a lot of changes at Kennedy High School. 30 years ago, the vice principal had disciplined female students for their skirts being too short, but now it was no problem for male students to walk hand in hand. The principal called Glenn into his office and told him that the city council had decided to reduce 10% of the school budget. So his plan was to get rid of all the music classes, art, and drama from school. Glenn protested and said, "If you get rid of all the art classes, then what would you read and write about later?" But the decision could not be reversed. Before his retirement, he had this talk with Bill, the football coach, his longtime friend. "Bill, have you decided what you're going to do?" Glenn, "I'm too old to join a rock band, so I guess I'll have to make a living by giving piano lessons. Bill, "I want to retire too." Glenn, "I'm not retiring, I've been fired. You've got nothing to worry about. The day the budget for football is cut will be the last day of Western civilization. Honestly speaking, I'm really scared." Bill, "Everyone will miss you." Glenn, "You think so? It's funny when you think about it. I started something I didn't want to do, and it changed into the only thing that I want to do. I gave my life to it, but now I've become useless." I can only laugh. On the surface, Glenn Holland's life was a continuation of difficulties and hardship. All his life, he wasn't able to a financially well-off life. Teaching wasn't easy. He had to raise a handicapped child. And at the end, he had to give up teaching against his will. If we look at the life of Apostle Paul, who is sending this letter from Roman prison, his life was also a continuation of things not working out and is dotted with difficulties and hardships. The Philippians is made up of four chapters. The verses 1 to 11 that we examined during the past 8 weeks make up the introduction of the letter and contain greetings, words of thanks, and a prayer for the Philippi church. The text from today starts the main part of the letter. Paul begins the main text of his letter as follows, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. If we were to translate this verse in the word order and the feeling of the original text, it would read like this. I really want all of you to know, brothers and sisters, the fact that what had happened to me has actually brought the advance of the gospel. What has happened to Apostle Paul is, of course, being imprisoned in Roman prison. People of Philippi church were concerned with Paul being released. They fear that Paul may be put to death for insulting Rome and Roman emperor. But and they thought that because Paul was in Roman prison, the spreading of the gospel was being restricted. But Paul is saying that on the contrary, that because of what had happened to him, it served to advance the gospel. So Paul's concern was not with his release, but spreading the gospel. Now, Paul had not wanted to be an apostle. Now, forget being the apostle. He had not even wanted to be a Christian. He only wanted to be the Pharisee of the Pharisees and a stricter observer of the laws. But his life changed completely by meeting resurrected Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. After that, his life was something that surpassed his imagination. His life was a continuation of difficulties and ordeals that cannot be compared with life of Glenn Holland. Paul, who had met the resurrected Lord, changed the direction of his life towards him, but there was almost no one who believed him. He was marked as an apostate within Judaism and as a person of suspect within Christian society. And so he secluded himself no less than about 13 years at his hometown Tarsus. He became a member of the Antioch church due to Barnabas' invitation and went on the first mission journey, but ended up in a heated argument with Barnabas before undertaking the second mission journey and had to go separate ways. John called Mark, a cousin of Barnabas, who had returned home without taking leave during the first mission trip, was the starting point of their arguments. And so he left for the second mission journey with Silas, but his path just continued to be blocked. He went to Philippi upon seeing a vision of a Macedonian man, but there was no one who waited for them there. And for the reason that they were spreading things that could not be accepted by Roman citizens, they were severely beaten and even were put in prison. Although, of course, because of these, they were able to start the Philippi church. Apostle Paul, during the third mission trip, wrote to Romans while he was in Corinth, and he deeply wanted to go to Rome and deliver the gospel to them and have a fellowship with them, but his plans each time was frustrated. Romans chapter 15, verses 22 to 24 testify as follows from the New Standard Translation. And that's why it has taken me so long to finally get around to coming to you. But now that there is no more pioneering work to be done in these parts, and since I have looked forward to seeing you for many years, I am planning my visit. I'm headed for Spain and expect to stop off on the way to enjoy a good visit with you and eventually have you send me off with God's blessing. Apostle Paul wanted to go as far as Spain to spread the gospel. On his way to Spain, he wanted to stop by Rome and share words with the Christians there who were there. But it didn't happen according to his plan. And Paul could no longer go on a mission trip according to his plans. Apostle Paul visited Jerusalem for the first time in many years with donations to help Jerusalem church and offerings for God. There were tens of thousands of people who had accepted Christian faith at Rome, but only few received Paul. Apostle Paul explained, who he used to be and how he came to live his present life before the Chiliarch and the Jews, but people threw off their garments, claiming they could not stand to listen to him and yelled out, "This man is like a plague, and he's the head of the heretics of Nazareth." In addition, there was a time when 40 men who had decided not to eat or drink before they killed Paul made a plan to kill him and carry it out, but their plan had failed because his nephew happened to discover such a plan through God's mysterious intervention. And the assassination plot came to nothing. And there was also a time when Paul was in prison for 2 years due to the greed and indifference of the governor of Judah. Acts chapter 24, verses 25 to 27 testify as follows. As Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe, so he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. Now, Paul delivered God's words to Felix, and Felix's heart felt a prick, but that was it, and he knew that Paul was not guilty. He called him from time to time to talk with him, but it was not because he acknowledged that the gospel Paul was delivering was the truth or because he was charmed by Paul's noble life. His purpose was money. At the time, a governor was a position that could accumulate a staggering amount of wealth, and therefore he and Paul could not be compared in terms of financial wealth. But even so, he wanted bribery from a prisoner. Paul had come to Jerusalem in order to deliver donations, and perhaps he was covetous of that money. And Felix, conscious of, had kept Paul in prison for 2 years without any trial because he didn't want to be blamed by the high priest, the elders, and the Jews filled with murderous intent. So this Felix's outlooks, extremely selfish, seemed to make Paul's life waste away. At last, Paul was able to go to Rome after making an appeal to the Roman emperor. Paul had wanted to go to Rome as a free man to share the gospel, but God made Paul head there as a prisoner. While Apostle Paul, sending a letter to Corinth, set out what he had experienced as follows. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled. I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. This passage is generally called Paul's list of sufferings. When Jews imposed punishment by lashing, they could not sentence someone to more than 40 lashings. This was the rule that God had given them. So they counted as they beat someone, but sometimes there were cases where one more beating was doled out due to mistaken counting. So they limited beatings to 39 times. This was to ensure that even if they gave an additional beating, they would be within the prescribed number, 40, and avoid violating God's words. And so that Paul received 40 lashes without one meant that he received the maximum possible beating that a man could be sentenced to. And he was so beaten no less than 5 times. And there were many kinds of dangers that he suffered on his trip. While he traveled long distances, he suffered dangers from natural disasters. And because it was a time when there were problems with security, he suffered from people who tried to commit crimes. He suffered from lack of basic things like not being able to eat, sleep, or clothe himself as needed. That there were these events in his mission work meant that things were not going according to his plan. And because Apostle Paul was a highly skilled worker who could make tents, he could have continued with his mission work with his own money so long as there was steady work, but life was always difficult for him. But there was something else that weighed down his heart more than these sufferings. These are from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 28, which immediately follows the verses that we just read. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. What weighed him down, what pressured him, were not the wounds from his lashings, or dangers he suffered during his mission trips, or the basic problems about food and clothing and housing. Apostle Paul had wanted the churches that he planted to grow up and mature in a more healthy way, but the fact that they did not weighed him down. At the time, what caused the most difficulty for the church was the legalistic approach that insisted one gain salvation by observing the law and not by faith, and the Gnosticism that turned God's creation of the world and Jesus dying on the cross meaningless. The letters that Paul wrote were, in most cases, written to resolve problems. In other words, they are not letters written because his work was going well, but because his works were not going well. Galatians was sent to Galatian church to resolve the problem with legalism, and Colossians were written to resolve the problem with Gnosticism. In particular, Corinthian church was the Corinth church was almost a museum of controversy over problems like sexual immorality, litigation, food for the idols, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and resurrection. So in this way, it seems that nothing had gone right in Apostle Paul's life and his work. In particular, he is now imprisoned in Roman prison. But despite all this, Paul says the following with confidence. I will recite verse 12 again. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He says that him being imprisoned had actually served a great role in advancing the gospel. This is the mysteries of faith. The title to hymn 373 is If on a Quiet Sea, Towards Heaven We Calmly Sail. The second verse of the hymn goes like this. But should the surges rise and rest delayed to come, blessed be the tempest, kind the storm, which drives us nearer home. In ending of the movie, Holland's Opus, I mentioned at the beginning, is like this. Glenn Holland, who was forced to retire from his school against his will, was on his way out with his wife and his son, who had visited the school after gotten his things together. But then he heard music coming from the auditorium, so he stops by the auditorium to see what was going on. When he went in, the students and former students who filled the auditorium gave him a standing ovation. In front of the auditorium was a banner which said, Goodbye, Mr. Holland. Gertrude Lang, who could not play the clarinet well and had a hard time, appeared as the state governor. In front of everyone, Gertrude said, Mr. Holland deeply touched my life. My life is probably not only one he touched, but he seems to think that most of his life has been a waste. According to rumors, it is said that there is a symphony that he has been composing and that the symphony will make him famous and rich. But he's not rich, and beyond our little town, he's not famous. And so he could think himself a failure, but he's wrong. Why? Because he accomplished something which is far more valuable than wealth and fame. Look around you. There is no one here who has not been influenced by him. All of us matured because of you. We are your symphony, Mr. Holland. We are the melodies and the notes of your opus. And we are the music of your life. Now it is our turn to return the favor. You and your wife have been waiting 30 years to listen to this. Now, please take a hold of this baton and conduct the first performance of your American symphony. And the curtain rose, and there was the orchestra, which was made up of students selected from each graduating class from the past 30 years. The movie ends by showing Mr. Holland conducting his opus. Apostle Paul's life seemed like a failure. The churches he planted seem like beginning players who could not carry a tune, and his letters all seem like unfinished symphonies. However, except for Jesus Christ, there was no one who had greater influence on human history than Apostle Paul. And the letters that he wrote became the words of God. Today, beloved brothers and sisters, are there times when things are not going according to your plans? When your plans come to nothing? When there are times when things that make up your life seem like unnecessary, unneeded notes, look around you. It is the way by which God makes our lives. Today is the second Sunday of Lent, when we meditate on the sufferings of Christ and wait for His resurrection. On the surface, there does not appear to be a person who is more of a failure than Jesus Christ. He was born in a manger as a child of an unwed mother, grew up as a son of a carpenter, and was a carpenter himself until he was 30. His public life was only 3 years. There was almost no one who had true understanding of his works. Disciples also had false illusions about Jesus. His relatives even said he was crazy. But our Lord was a whole person, and his works were perfect. Now it is our turn to tell this to our Lord. Our Lord Jesus was not rich, was not famous at his time, and he suffered severe sufferings and even died on the shameful cross. And so people say the Lord is a failure, but that is wrong. Our Lord lived again and gave us eternal life. All of us were able to live a meaningful life on this earth because of Jesus. We are Jesus' symphony. We are the notes and the melodies of Lord's opus. We are your music. Lord, take this baton and play the symphony of eternal kingdom of God. There is no life which is more valuable and precious than living as the composition of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, the life of Apostle Paul was filled with shortcomings, and it seemed that nothing was going right in his life. It was a life that was not welcomed by Jews or Christians. And the churches that he planted were always filled with problems, and it was questionable whether his letters had any effect on them at all. And there was even the misery of not being accepted by the churches that he himself had planted. But through Apostle Paul, who lived on as God's notes and God's melodies, you renewed the entire world. This was because he lived a life which was completely obedient to your conducting. Father God, in our lives too, there are lacks. Things do not go according to our plans, and we live weighed down by great and small rocks that we carry. And there are times when the meaning of life fades away, and even the courage to live in the right way fades away. At each moment like these, help us not to forget that you have created us in the most beautiful way, that you love us, and that you are leading us. Even if there are great waves in our lives, help us to recollect that even they are of your grace, designed to make us go faster. And so even if our lives may look like an unfinished phrase and music that are to be torn up later. Help us not to forget that through all these things we are becoming a part of God's symphony. May it be the joy and hope of our lives that we are being crafted into your opus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.